have Myra here from the Citizens Advice Bureau here in Spain. She's here once a fortnight. Good morning. Did you swim in today, Myra?
I did swim in today.
Good for the garden, though, isn't it, eh?
Yes, lovely. Just had to be very careful on the roads, as we all know.
Well, interestingly, the roads here, we've got the A7, the N340, whatever it's called, one of the longest roads and most dangerous on the planet. But for some reason, they forgot to put a camber on the road, so the water sits in the middle of it. You'd think that'd be like a kind of basic thing of road building, that you put a camber so the water runs off the road.
Yes.
Never thought that one through, really. Now, today we're talking about healthcare in Spain and people who have no right to healthcare in Spain. So shall we turn it on its head to start with and say who does have a right to healthcare in Spain?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who has a right to healthcare in Spain? We'll start with retired people on a state pension. So we say pensioner on a state pension with their S1 from their relevant EU country.
Now, what I hear this acronym bandied around a lot, S1. What actually is it?
It's basically a document given to you, provided if you're a state pensioner, by the Department of Works and Pensions.
In the UK, right?
In the UK, happily to give it to you. Quite happy to give it to you as soon as you tell them you're going to reside in Spain and you've reached retirement age. And that gives you the right... The authorities here, both the police should know when you do your residency and the social security should know that that means that UK or whichever EU country is going to pay for your healthcare.
Right, which is one of the things that they're worried about somebody having to do and not being Spain.
Yes.
Do you have to do it before you leave or can you do it retrospectively?
You can do it once you're here, but because a lot of people are here and they retire here, so then they get in touch. They may be on health, they may have their health covered for in other ways, which there's a few more, and then they will automatically go on to the S1. For instance, if a wife has been dependent on her husband or the other way around and she's been covered by him, she must then do it on her own right when she reaches retirement age or he reaches retirement age.
Right.
The same if somebody's been working. Of course, if you're working and paying in the social security system here, resident or not, you get healthcare.
Yes. To be clear here, then, if you have the S1 form and you've had it sent to you by the Department of Work and Pensions, you can use that to get public healthcare in hospitals and doctors in Spain.
Yes, you don't actually use the S1. You actually register and you get your social security number and you get your health card.
Got it. Okay.
Which is a lot easier.
Okay.
And not only that, I may have mentioned before, for state pensioners now, since April 2015, the changing of the rules, regulations in the UK for charging people that don't live there, contrary to what people think, you get charged. You can't dash into a hospital and get free healthcare.
Yes.
And that was tightened up in 2015. All state pensioners in Spain should keep their S1. They no longer need a EHIC for UK.
No.
And they can go back there, and the beauty is they will be treated exactly the same as a UK resident. Should they be there for healthcare? It's different if you're planning to go there for healthcare, because you can. That's cross-border healthcare, where you can decide that you've got nobody to look after you when you've had your hip replacement here, so you can have the operation done in the UK.
So that's if you have an S1, you can use it?
No, the cross-border is a different thing for everybody.
Right.
But so that S1, so that people are not mistaken, thinking, I've got my S1, I'm going to plan to have my operation there. That's a different way.
Ah.
But if you happen to be in the UK, you need to see a doctor, you need to go to hospital, you will be treated exactly. I think that's marvellous.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
No, that's only last year. And it may be something for Brexit, really. I'm going back I'm going back home for treatment.
So you can elect to have treatment cross-border, then. You can go back to the UK and have your treatment
there. That's all European citizens. You can choose any country, actually.
Oh, how interesting.
As long as they're not going to charge you in that country, the cost is not going to be dearer than where you're insured. When we say insured, we say Social Security. They see it here as a form of insurance.
So when you go
healthcare.
Back to the UK and you turn up at a doctor, surgery, or hospital, whatever it might be, what do you show them?
Your S1.
Okay.
Now, of course,
But, and if you're younger than that, you can't do this?
No.
Right.
And if you're not a state pensioner, if you haven't got an S1, it's all those. So that means you can cut out the EHIC if you're flying direct.
Yeah.
If you're going through France, you still need your... If you're travelling by road, your EHIC.
Got it.
I don't know how knowledgeable the doctors and hospitals now are about this, because there were a few mistakes in the early days where they weren't aware.
Right. OK, so that's the S1. Obviously, you've got private healthcare. Is another way you can get healthcare here, by actually paying for it monthly with a private insurance company.
Yes. And, of course, but that doesn't... Especially for people who come and retire or going early retirees, it doesn't cover pre-existing conditions.
No, it doesn't.
They're very, very strict. This is why the Convenio Especial, paying into the National Health System... is handy. I want to bring up one thing that's really important, because you said other ways to get healthcare. If you've been working then you stop, you should just automatically carry on, and then you go and see them after 60 days, 90 days, and they should make sure you're in the system. They will, though, ask you, as they do for people known as not having enough resources pre-2012, they will ask you for what's known as a legislation letter from the Department of Work and Pensions. They used to provide this in two languages, and this actually just said that you're not entitled to healthcare in the UK. Britain has stopped doing these.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, over the last few months, I've been struggling to find out the new system, and I eventually got through. It's gone from the Department of Work and Pensions to the HMRC, which is Her Majesty's Royal Customs, isn't it?
Right.
An exercise. Well, I suppose it's one way.
That acronym strikes terror into most people's hearts,
well,
HMRC.
That's where you now apply and tell them where you are.
How bizarre.
But this new system, and it's an SO40, and then you get an SO41. I even rang the head office of the Department of Social Security in Madrid. They had no idea, because none of the civil servants still know about this. So much struggling, weeks and weeks, to and fro, to eventually get the net, just what it is, from the UK, HMRC, which I've passed on to... I tried to pass on to the chap that gave me his email, which is like gold dust, doesn't get through to him. And they actually admitted, when I was calling them Monday, I think, and the same number I spoke to this chap, I can't find him. And the guy there said, well, I can't help you, and they're just passing you on to get rid of you. And I thought, thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
So I rang up Europe, see if they will help me, the European Commission. Because somebody got wrong information from a government source here. This has got to be sorted out. Why haven't Britain told Spain, or have they told Spain? Why hasn't Spain told all its civil servants? Because there are people who need to get this healthcare and cannot, because they cannot. But also, can you imagine, before we'd say to the civil servant in Social Security, here's my letter of non-entitlement in the UK, lovely. Now we're going to say to him, no, you've got to go in that computer through the EES. I think, and you've got to actually send UK an SO40, and they will send you an SO... I can see the civil servant saying, mañana.
Oh, my goodness me.
The hiccups, and we're not blaming just Spain now. I would have thought that UK would please do something about this.
So just to be clear here, then, we've got the S1 form. We've got people who are paying for private health insurance. We've got people who are employed or are autonomo.
Yes.
In other words, self-employed.
Yes.
For those people who are employed or autonomo, what happens if you stop being autonomo or lose your job? Does it carry on the healthcare?
Yes, it carries on. They won't. It's 60 to 90 days, but it does carry on. 60, 90 days, you should go and speak to social services. If you've got a nice, kind person in there, amicable, they'll tell you, well, come back on the last day. We can't apply now.
Right.
And you go back and you'll carry on as a person who doesn't have... First of all, there's the person without resources, so you carry on receiving your healthcare.
Yeah.
Irrelevant to anything else. And also... yes, also, if you go on to the unemployment, you carry on receiving healthcare.
Right.
And you can carry on signing, even when you're not being paid anymore, which will also cover you. You should really stay signing on the unemployment, the unemployment office,
right,
even when you're no longer receiving your unemployment benefits, beneficial for the future.
How would they know? Because presumably you turn up with a card... at the doctor's and you say, hello, here's my health card, thank you very much. You could have been out of work for 5 years. He doesn't know, does he?
Well, you should carry on. If you've been working here, you're entitled to carry on. Yes, right. you're in a computer system, and just by putting your social security number, everything about you should come up.
Right.
So you'll find there's blips now when people go to a chemist, and the Valencia tends to do the temporary SIP cards. And I don't know why always temporary. That's something we don't have in Andalusia. Mm. But we have to get to the bottom of why always temporary or often temporary. But you come up in the system. You go to a chemist and he says, no, you're not entitled to your medication,
right.
Or you have to pay because it
computer says... Computer says no.
Computer says your card is no longer valid.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sort of happen in Andalusia, but it does in Valencia.
How interesting. OK, so that's people who have a right to healthcare in Spain.
And there's another group of people that have the right, which are the pre-April 2012 residents who are entitled to free healthcare.
Ah,
just by actually being here before 2012.
Oh, okay.
But the law actually says that all residents are entitled to healthcare. And there have been some cases, one against the Department of Social Security, because they're actually fibbing, to put it nicely, and they tell you're not entitled. We have cases
never,
like this.
Never!
Oh, yes, little fibs. And they're using a law that's a residency law. So when this happens, you can take the matter to court. It might not even go to court, and I'd almost guarantee that you'd win.
Interesting.
The only thing they could say now is, because they're tightening up, well, you're now a burden on our country, but in the laws on freedom of movement, EU directive and the Spanish Royal Decree, it does actually say that the fact that you need social services in any way or some sort of social doesn't actually mean that you could be told you can no longer be a resident. It's a bit... People have to set up... You know, you have to have cases. Somebody has to set a precedent. Sometimes wish some of our members who are residents here would get together and help us to help them.
Yes. Interesting. OK, so now, those who have no right to healthcare in Spain, so don't fit in any of those categories.
OK, depending on their age. If they're under 65,
right,
they really have to go for private healthcare.
Mm. OK.
Sorry, I'm fibbing.
You mustn't fib.
I'm fibbing.
You mustn't fib.
Yes, they
struck
can...
Down.
If, yes, sorry. All... Oh, how ridiculous of me to have thought that. I do know the truth.
We know you know.
Yeah. All residents in Spain, after they've been resident for 1 year, are entitled to pay into what they call the Convenio Especial.
Yes.
Available in most but not all autonomous regions. We'd say Valencia, yes. Murcia, yes. Andalusia, yes, so that people know. We have a list on the website of all the areas you can apply. This means that you can enter the national health system paying, if you're under 65, €60 a month. Covers all pre-existing conditions. You could be on your last legs, they'll take you.
OK, that's quite useful. €60 a month?
€60 a month.
Okay.
That covers... That will give you the basic healthcare, which is basically what every insured person has, even though it's called basic.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover... It doesn't cover your medicine, your prescriptions.
Yes.
It doesn't cover anything prosthetic, like if you wanted a hip replacement or a new arm or a new leg.
Right.
It doesn't cover those.
Okay.
It doesn't cover special diets. And it doesn't cover urgent transport to the hospital. If you called an ambulance, you'd pay for it. But then so do other people.
Yes.
Have to pay for ambulances.
Yes.
But otherwise, you'll also be covered if you go out of your autonomous region temporarily. You're in Valencia, you go to Andalusia or Granada. Well, that's Andalusia. You'll be covered.
So you join the scheme. You pay your money. What do you get? Do you get a card again?
They should.
Not a cardigan, again.
You should get a cardigan. You should get a cardigan. Yes, to show that you're covered.
Yes.
And once you've applied, and I think you've paid your first month through direct debit, you'll get your healthcare immediately. Very good, but there's more to that. It does go up to 157.
Yes. if you're over 65.
But the thing about that is, usually when you're over 65, you've got your health, you've got your state pension, and you'll be able to claim on your S1.
Then you are eligible anyway, yes. I see what you mean.
So it's like a stopgap.
So €60 isn't that cheap, actually, to be fair. I don't think that's that cheap. If you could get private health care for that.
But the people who... Well, private health care, you have to look at all the small print and make sure. You have to be very careful. We have our doctor who was with us, our medic, Maria, wrote something the things you should look for in her blog before you take on healthcare.
Interesting.
Because we've too many people who contact us and others saying, well, I thought I was covered, I went there and I've got a bill. You've got to be very careful. And the pre-existing conditions for people who are over.
Yes, interesting.
A certain age who may have...
We are taking calls, as always, 952-784-1000. First of those has come in. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning.
Hi. I understand that this insurance thing, the social security system that you've just mentioned, Myra, the good thing, Bill, is that it will cover pre-existing conditions, whereas private healthcare very often
Very good point, Sharon. Yes, you're absolutely right.
We've thought this through because we may have to pay after Brexit. We may have to pay for this. I don't know. I don't know what Myra thinks on that. But if we do, Richard and I decided that rather than go for private healthcare, we'd go for this because it would be a lot more inclusive of those things. Just before I missed the beginning and things were going on, could you either summarise or put it on the remix at the end? Because there was so much you were saying when you first came in, I didn't take it all in. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I think you may have missed that I said that it did cover, the fact that it covers all pre-existing conditions.
When you first came in...
Well, I'll tell you where the best place to get that, Sharon. At the end of every show, I let Myra have a copy of what we've just broadcast, and they put it up on the Citizens Advice Bureau website. So then you can get the whole thing in audio form there for you.
And you can contact us directly if you need, through the website. Yeah. If you need more information, we'll give you more information, all the details, what it does cover and what it doesn't.
You'll be on the remix anyway, won't you, sir?
Indeed, but yes, absolutely. Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you.
Bye. Yes, good point. So if you went for private healthcare, you would have...
I was very lucky,
I must say, and I'm not going how clever am I, it was just complete pot luck that I had private healthcare in the UK with a company that was also part of a company in Spain, therefore pre-existing conditions transferred over.
Very good.
Yeah, that was just luck, basically.
Yes.
But yeah.
And the other thing it doesn't cover is your TSE or your EHIC, your health card for when you travel.
Right.
You don't get covered there.
I don't think there's enough acronyms in life, personally. I think we should have more. good morning, you're live on TRE. How can we help you? Who's calling? Hello? Yes, hello there. Who's calling?
Yeah, my name is Jim. I have a camper van. I spend 6 months of the year. I spend the winter in Spain. So I'm 65. Next April, I'll qualify for my pension, but I won't have residency or an address in Spain. How does that work?
So you spend 6 months in Spain, so you're not resident, basically.
A camper van. I don't have...
You should have an address in your camper van. Oh, you're moving around all the time.
Yes.
Well, you'd have to find an address. You'd have to find a fiscal address. Now, the thing is, you say 6 months. If you're not resident here, you haven't got... Even if you get your S1 from the UK, you'd have to become a resident here to be able to use that for healthcare.
Right. Okay. So, to complicate matters, I actually live in Holland. So, with my health care that I have in Holland here, would that cover me in Spain?
I'm
a British passport holder.
Will you get your pension from Holland or from the UK?
I'll get my pension from the UK.
You get your S1 so that you can become a resident here and sort out an address, because if you're going to be a resident, you can still have your camper and still, I'm sure, you can have an address.
But if you just use that... We use a camping site we stay on for...
Well, there you are.
I could use that as an address.
Well, it's an address, isn't it? It's where you are.
Myra, could you use a Hestor, like a solicitor or a Hestoria as your fiscal address, an accountant? You do that in the UK.
Yes, if they allow that.
Yeah.
You can have what is known as a fiscal address here.
Yeah.
But, of course, you've got your camping site, so if mail gets there, okay, there's no reason why you can't use that.
Okay.
All righty, thank you.
That's marvellous.
No worries at all. No problem at all. Pleasure.
But there's something interesting about this as well.
Mm.
Because we've sort of always said 1 year residency. You can't apply before you've been a resident for 1 year, mm-hmm. and you must go on the census on the padrón. But we're seeing slowly that the requisites are not, they're not being strict on them. In fact, on the Andalusia, we know in Valencia people are now starting to get the this showing. They say you have to prove 1 year's valid residence. They don't actually put anywhere on Valencia, for instance, that they want to see a residency or your registration certificate. I have to start calling it that because it's actually not a residency certificate. Your registration certificate where you've registered as a foreigner on the registrar, which basically we see it as residence.
Right. Is that not, is an NIE not good enough for that?
Well, it appears to be the case. Oh. Even Andalusia, when you look at the BOE, which is the bulletin, state bulletin, the law says valid residence as well, and we're all considering that's a valid residence, and in a lot of cases people would be asked for their residency. But if you can prove, I think for anybody that wants it and hasn't been here a year, but for some reason have been on the padrón for a year, and they're interested in the convenio especial, they should go ahead and apply. All they have to do is prove valid residency. Again, the padrón could be a way which you need, but again, the padrón shows that you're a habitual resident. The padrón, which is a census, is trying to move away from the word residence. You even see it in their law. Mm-hmm. It actually says they're trying to move away because then, like, for instance, non-EU, say people from South America or Morocco who came here, registered on the padrón after 2 years, they could get their residency. It gave them a right. It said that you had been a resident. So Spain is trying to, the padrón is trying to move away from that word resident and calling you just a habitual neighbour, you habitually reside in that town. So the padrón doesn't actually, they say, give you rights. As a resident, and in other ways it does. A little bit confusing for people that don't know what I'm going on about. I have it all in my head.
Yeah.
I have to, because what we're saying is there's a law and then there's little grey areas, and we sometimes
I don't think they're that little, actually, some of them. They're quite gaping, to be honest.
But if we can use it for people that are living here, if the state, I think, wants your money and you want to enter into this convenio especial, go for it if you can prove. If you can't prove padrón for that long, but you can prove that you were your electricity bill, go for it.
Rental agreement, something like that. Yeah.
Or your escritura loan, you'd have to have something that says you've actually resided here for a year. Don't worry about the fact that you haven't become a resident, which you should. Mm. But if they're allowing that glimmer, that little...
Mm.
And if you look at on our website, there's a convenio especial, how to apply, and then you've got the information for every region that actually provides this service. And you will look at their forms, and you'll see in Madrid, for instance, they don't even put, and even in Andalusia, they're putting residence certificate or registration or passport or an IE. So they're really telling you in a sort of way that
they're telling you the loopholes.
Yes.
Good. Excellent.
So that will help a lot of people that have been here, and there have been a lot, and hopefully they're listening so they know that if I've said before that it does say residence, there's a grey area there, so go for it if you need it.
Brilliant. So that's the Convenio Especial, €60 a month if you're under 65. And if you didn't get any of this, all you have to do is visit the Citizens Advice Bureau website in the next few days, and the audio that we've just had for the last half hour will be on there, as well as some actual written information amongst all your other excellent written information. I have a tip of the week for people, Myra.
Oh,
I have
you
a
have.
Tip of the week.
That sounds good.
I got fed up receiving nonsense phone calls at home, and somebody somewhere in a pub said to me, "What you want, mate, is Listo Robinson."
That's right.
And I'd never heard of Listo Robinson. And this
correct.
Is fantastic, because you basically, you go to Listo Robinson's on a website, just Google it, you'll get a website, listorobinson.es it actually is, and you fill in your phone details, mobile or home phone, and you put yourself on a register, and basically they're not then allowed to call you.
That's right.
And if they do, and actually mine have dropped dramatically. I have to say, I don't know if it's just coincidental, but they've dropped dramatically.
I'm sure it's
And if they do call, the ones that do slip through the net, all I say is, Lister Robinson, and they put the phone down.
And also, Movistar offers that service too, but they charge you.
Ah. Well, that's a good one, that. Listerrobinson.es. Fantastic. We've got one more caller just before we go, just finish off with. Hello, good morning. You're like, oh, blimey, going to need to turn the radio down, I'm afraid. Otherwise, we won't better take your call.
Yes, it's off.
Oh, good, lovely. Who are we talking to?
Okay, this is Lewis.
Hello, Lewis. What can we do for you?
I got a quick question. I don't have a computer, so I can't get on the website. Is there a telephone number that you can give me to contact you? I have some questions. Not too many.
Yes, it's going to be. We'll have to direct you afterwards. Okay, I'll give you a mobile.
Okay.
Usually for emergencies, but I suppose you're an emergency case because you don't get on the computer. It's 615.
615.
81.
81.
42.
42.
64.
64. Can I repeat it real fast?
Yes.
Okay, 615-81-4264.
That wasn't fast. That's it, yes.
Thanks,
and
Louis.
Of course, do try if you find I'm travelling and I can't pick up. Do try again, okay?
Thanks, Louis.
Okay.
All the best to you. And one final email here from Zandra, who says, how much for 85-year-old? I guess she's talking about the Convenio Speciale.
Yes.
It's €157, but you should be able to get the S1, so you don't need the Convenio Speciale,
this
right?
This 85-year-old should be able to get the S1 if she's a pensioner from the UK. Also, may be entitled to free healthcare anyway, should contact us.
Fantastic. If people want to get hold of you, Citizens Advice Bureau Spain is the place to Google. You'll get the Facebook page up, which is excellent, and even more, you'll get the website up. And we will see you again in a fortnight. Thank you so much indeed.